Garcia's identity, please. Elbert Hubbard whipped up an essay in just an hour after dinner on February 22, 1899. He added it to the March edition of his magazine, Philistine, at the last minute. It was a tough day for Hubbard, as he struggled to get his employees to do what he wanted. He described it as trying to wake them up and get them energized. Hubbard's son, Bert, sparked the idea for the essay during an office debate. They were discussing who the real hero of the Spanish-American War in 1898 was. Bert argued that a guy named Rowan deserved that title. In the war sparked by an explosion on the USS Maine and its sinking in Havana's harbor, the U.S. battled Spain for control of Cuba and the Philippines. America's plan in Cuba relied on teaming up with Cuban rebels against the Spanish. A key figure among these rebels was Garcia, a famous guerrilla leader hiding in Cuba's rugged mountains. But reaching him was tough. Nobody in the U.S. knew where he was, how he moved, or how to contact him since he didn't receive mail or telegraphs. Still, President William McKinley needed to reach him somehow. Rowan's mission, delivering McKinley's message to Garcia. An advisor informed McKinley that Rowan was the perfect person for a particular task. Following this, the president summoned Rowan and handed him a sealed envelope with one simple instruction: deliver it to Garcia. Rowan accepted the task without questioning the details, such as how to deliver the message, why he was chosen, his payment, Garcia's identity, or location. He immediately left the White House, securing the letter close to his heart in an oilskin pouch. Within a week, Rowan arrived in Cuba by boat under the cover of night. He skillfully navigated through obstacles, avoiding Spanish troops and local loyalists, and earning the trust of the insurgents. Less than a month later, Rowan successfully reached the far shores of Cuba, accomplishing his mission against all odds. Elbert Hubbard's identity. Elbert Hubbard, both an author and publisher, wrote an essay urging workers to emulate Rowan's dedication. He didn't dwell on Rowan's journey, seeing the specifics as unimportant. Hubbard aimed for readers to focus on the main point, Rowan's unwavering commitment to his task. When the March edition of Philistine hit the shelves, people clamored for extra copies. Initially, requests were for a dozen, then 50, then 100. The American News Company even ordered 1,000 copies. Hubbard was puzzled by the sudden interest and asked why. An employee explained, "It's the part about Garcia." George H. Daniels from the New York Central Railroad sent a telegram to Philistine asking for the price of printing 100,000 copies of an essay by Rowan in pamphlet form, and when they could be shipped. Hubbard, from Philistine, quickly responded, saying they couldn't print that many copies but offered to sell the rights to reprint the essay. Daniels agreed, and he ended up printing 500,000 booklets of Hubbard's essay. Later on, he printed even more and distributed them widely, with around 200 newspapers and magazines also publishing them. Spread a message to Garcia across the globe. The head honcho of Russian railways, Prince Hilakov, toured America's railroads as Daniels' special guest. He noticed the heaps of booklets Daniels was passing around and asked about a message to Garcia. When he got back home, the prince had it translated into Russian. Then he printed millions of copies and made sure every Russian rail worker got one. Soon, Hubbard's message spread to Germany, France, Spain, Turkey, India, and China, too. During the Russo-Japanese War of 1904 to 1905, every Russian soldier on active duty had a copy of a message to Garcia with them. The Japanese found it in the pockets of Russian prisoners and thought it was worth reading, so they made their own version in Japanese. The Emperor of Japan, known as the Mikado, ordered all his government workers to read it too. By 1913, around 40 million copies were printed worldwide, which is more than any other book during its author's lifetime. The essay has been translated into all written languages, mostly because of some lucky breaks. Rowan, a source of inspiration. Rowan's dedication to his mission deserves recognition. His statue should be on every college campus. It would remind students that success doesn't always come from books. What matters is having a strong sense of duty, being reliable, acting quickly, and focusing on the task at hand. This monument would inspire students to develop their own moral strength and prioritize their responsibilities. Workers have a lot to handle, from dangerous tasks to routine ones. But it seems like not many are keen to step up. Bosses often find themselves frustrated by what they see as laziness and lack of focus in their employees. Sometimes, it feels like pulling teeth to get them to work together, even on simple stuff. It's like people just don't want to concentrate or put in the effort. Instead of jumping in to help, they often seem indifferent or wrapped up in themselves. And bosses resort to all sorts of tricks to get things done, from threats to bribes. The only ray of hope is when someone actually wants to work, and it feels like a miracle. Can't you do it? Imagine you're at work and you need someone to do research on a painter named Correggio. You ask one of your colleagues for help, expecting them to say, sure, and get to work. But instead, they start asking questions like, who's Correggio? Is he still alive? Did I sign up for this? Why can't Charlie do it? Do we need it urgently? And what do you need the info for? Sound familiar? That's the reality many employers face. Even after all those questions, your employee is unlikely to do the assignment. Chances are, they'll convince a colleague, maybe someone good at research, to do at least half of it instead. After making it seem like they're working hard for a while, they might come back and say there's no such person. If you're smart, you'll just smile and say, never mind, and look it up yourself. Socialism isn't a concern. Most people don't think for themselves, lack moral sense, and have weak willpower. Only a small minority work hard and carry their share of responsibilities. It's unlikely that true socialism will ever take root because people struggle to even act in their own interests, let alone for the greater good. If they won't work for themselves, how could they work for everyone else? The British Navy used to dominate the seas, and it all came down to the bosun and the sailors. Each ship had its bosun, who controlled things with a knotted rope, and the sailors did their jobs because they were scared of being hit with it. Nowadays, people only stick to their jobs because they're scared of losing them or because they want their paycheck. Perform the task efficiently. It's often funnier to see folks who have a job but refuse to actually do it, right? But what's even more amusing? Those folks who beg to be hired for any job, even if they're totally unqualified for it. Imagine you post a job ad for a stenographer. Now, brace yourself. 90% of the applicants can't even spell or punctuate properly. And guess what? They're shocked when you ask them to. Workers who are mistreated or taken advantage of deserve our sympathy, just like anyone else who has to deal with tough conditions, low pay, or long hours. It's not just tough on them, it also reflects badly on their bosses. But let's not forget about the other side of the story, the bosses who age faster because they're constantly trying to motivate lazy workers, or who get sick and stressed from always having to push their employees to work when they're slacking off. Streamlined by removal. In every retail business and manufacturing plant, constant evaluation is necessary. The boss must fire those who show no interest in the business or its improvement. Whether the company is successful or struggling, managers must remove lazy and indifferent employees. When work, money, and opportunities are scarce, the sorting is done finer. Act before the unmotivated spread their lack of interest to the motivated ones. It is the survival of the fittest. for both employer and employee. If the boss does not remove the less fit, the business will not survive. The hardworking people who do the culling, the bosses, employers, and business owners, often work the hardest to make a business succeed. These dedicated individuals do not leave the office at 5 o'clock. They continue working despite the lack of interest, thanklessness, and willful ignorance of many of their employees. These very workers would be homeless and starving without their employers' efforts, but this fact rarely gets through to them or motivates them to work harder. Empathy improves life. This opinion might seem harsh, showing little sympathy for the lazy, unproductive worker. However, it expresses strong empathy for those who succeed. These people, despite facing high chances of failure that might scare others, lead their teams to success. Some of these leaders get little reward for their efforts, only bare board and clothes. The size of the reward was never their motivation. They worked for the satisfaction of a job well done. Those who work just for their daily pay and those who hire many workers both have their own virtues. Being poor doesn't make someone superior. As the saying goes, rags are no recommendation. Not every boss is a cruel, heartless tyrant. People who work hard even when their boss isn't watching deserve the highest praise, but often you can't find them to praise them because they don't seek recognition. They just want to do their jobs well. Empathy in the digital age. Recognize the employee who, when given a letter for Garcia, takes it without questions or excuses. Appreciate those who are eager to work and never try to get fired. Civilization is one long, anxious search for such individuals. If you can find such a worker, or if you are one, you will be welcome anywhere. Such a worker is highly valued, and every employer knows it. Smart employers will do whatever it takes to keep these workers happy. No matter where such a worker goes, he or she will always find a job in every office, shop, store, and factory. Employers are always looking for this worker, the dedicated, fearless, self-motivated person who never complains and always does the job. Self-interest prompts every employer to keep the best, those who can carry a message to Garcia. Key points. 1. Hubbard's A Message to Garcia emphasizes dedication and initiative, resonating globally. 2. Rowan's mission underscores the value of reliability and quick action in employees. 3. Challenges in workforce management are addressed, stressing the importance of recognizing dedicated workers. 4. Empathy towards both employees and employers cultivates a positive workplace culture. 5. The essay's widespread influence showcases the universal appeal of its message. 6. Hubbard's insights offer guidance for navigating the complexities of employer-employee dynamics. 7. Recognizing and appreciating dedicated workers is essential for maintaining productivity and morale in the workplace.